Okay, a little more space now. Spread out, everyone. Welcome, everyone who is putting in the efforts to join over there. So we were in the chapter Alei Shor, Perek Shmini of the second section, about how to do mitzvahs on a practical way. And we just started by talking about that whenever you do a mitzvah, there's two points. There's the point of the details of what you're doing, and then there's the emotional state that you're in. The situation, the state, the recognition of the process. For example, when you're talking to your friend and you're talking about something mundane, let's say like what you're going to be eating for lunch, then you have two things that are happening. There's the topic you're talking about, which is food, and then there's the how do I relate to my friend and what's the way that we talk. But then if you would have, if you're talking to the Rosh Hashiva about a sugya, then there's two different things that change there. There's the quality of the topic, which is that you're now talking in limud, and there's the emdav, who you're talking before, and all the recognition of the status of the person you're talking to, and what that puts you, where you feel emotionally towards that status. So there's two different things happening. There's the action, and there's the recognition of who you are in respect to what you're doing. When you come to do a mitzvah, you need both. Like we spoke about yesterday, there's the details, which is the looking down, all the details of what you're doing. And there's also the recognition of who you're standing before, the emda that you're in, the status that you're in. The purpose of mitzvahs is to bring one into a state of yirah, that I'm aware that I'm standing before. And that's what the Rambam writes. Sorry, this is not a quote from Rambam, this is a quote from the Yalkut Tehillim. The Rambam is the next source. Ivdu es Hashem beyira, vegilu bara'ada, says the Medrash, b'makom gila, Sham tehera ada. In a place of joy, there should also be trembling. Mikan she'ein omdim litpalel ele mitoch kovid rosh. Which means that you should only ever come to Davin. When you're coming to Davin, you should be in a mindset of seriousness, not of joking around. Ma'ase ba'achad sh'amad likrot v'torah v'samach atzmo al ha'kotel v'chazir Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak. There was someone who came to be called up to get an aliyah for the Torah, and he kind of slouched against the wall. And you're coming to read the Torah. You're coming to hear the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a status of recognition. You're coming to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And someone takes that position of just like slouching back whilst coming to read Torah. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said, you're not in an emotional state to be fitting for doing it. Maybe you can later on. Pause, collect yourself. I remember once I was in Madrich and in Eish HaTorah, and it was Tisha B'Av. So in Erev Tisha B'Av, the head madrich called us in, all the madrichim, and he said, Johnny Rudin, if you know. Johnny Rudin, he called us in, and he said, okay, guys, you have to know now that you have to be, even though like you're like hyper and enthusiastic and with the chevra, now Tisha B'Av is Tisha B'Av, and halacha is halacha, you can relate to them, but you still can't greet them in the halachic way, and you can't be jumping around. You should still be friendly, still talk to them, be normal, that they won't like think you've gone crazy, and that you're ignoring them, but at the same time, halacha is halacha, you can't be like your normal selves. And he said that to us, and it was just after Eicha, on the night, that we read Eicha in the night. He said that, and then we walked out of the room, and then we saw all the chevra. And I like jumped and slapped one on the back. How you doing? And then the head madrich, Johnny Rudin, Rabbi Yehonasan Rudin these days, so he put his hands on my shoulder and he said to me, Tzvi, what we just spoke about. And I go, okay, got it. And then it suddenly entered. So what happened was there was words that were spoken, but they didn't bring me into a state. They just were outside of me. Intellectual knowledge. And then there was a hand put on my shoulder and suddenly recognition that all that has to come in. And then I entered a different state, a state of yira, a state of today is a day which this is not appropriate and I have to act in the appropriate way according to. I entered a new state, I was aware of the status I was in. So the pasuk says, Ivdu et Hashem beyira vegilu barada b'makom gila sham tiyarada. So it's amazing that it's talking about gila and it's referring there to tefillah. Meaning that when you come to dove into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in a state of joy because you're aware that you're connecting to Hashem. But that connection to Hashem shouldn't be one of the same type of enthusiasm you have when you go rollerblading, which is also a status of joy, but a different type of joy. It's a more light-hearted joy. This is a joy which accompanies the joy, a seriousness, a recognition that I'm in the status now before someone very great, and I have to be in that mindset. V'kama mitzvot nireh ki yirat ha-mitzvah be'emet mitziut ha-mitzvah v'mekayem otah k'tzurata m'meile mukhrach liot yirat mitzvah. There are some mitzvahs which, having yirah, having an awareness that you were for Hashem is a factor, but it's not the essence. And there are some where it's the essence. It's the essence of the mitzvah. That's what the whole mitzvah is about. And he's going to give two or three examples. Example number one is the Rambam. And the Rambam here is talking about tefillin. What is tefillin about? What is the purpose of tefillin? Rambam says in Hilchot Tefillin, Perek Dalet, Kedushat tefillin, kedushatan gedolahi. The Rambam says the kedusha of tefillin is very, very great. Shekol zman shetefillin barosho shel adam va'al zoro, as long as you are wearing tefillin on your hand and on your head, hu anav v'yire shamayim, ve'enu nimshach b'schok v'sicha b'teila, ve'enu maharher machshavot ro'ot, ele mefane libo b'divrei emet v'tzedek. A person who's wearing tefillin is humble, he has yirat shamayim, he's not drawn after joking around and a vain talk, he doesn't think bad thoughts, and he doesn't turn his mind is only focused on true and just thoughts. So, an amazing diuk that Ali Shor writes here. He says, the Rambam doesn't say, when you wear tefillin, you must be careful to have yirat shamayim. You must be careful not to joke around. You must be careful to only think appropriately. It doesn't say that. It says, hu yirat shamayim. Hu eino nimshach b'schok. That's what happens. Meaning, tefillin has an effect on you, a supernatural effect, you might say. It's the segula of tefillin. Of course, a person could dafka not. You know, if a person comes without the mindset that he's fulfilling a mitzvah at all, and he forgets that he's wearing tefillin and he's just being light-hearted, it could happen. But as long as a person is aware that I'm doing a mitzvah, you don't have to be thinking yirat shamayim per se, but you just are thinking I'm doing a mitzvah, the tefillin will have that effect on you. It will give an effect of yirat shamayim. So there are some mitzvot where you have to remember to also have yirat shamayim there. And there are some which the essence of the mitzvah is by putting on tefillin, you become a more yirat shamayim oriented Jew. And that's why I'm just going to give a shout out for this. Although nowadays we don't wear tefillin the whole day, unfortunately, because it's hard for regular people to keep their tefillin or their mind or their body clean in a time when they're wearing tefillin. And therefore we don't wear tefillin the whole day. And people who do nowadays, sometimes it's considered arrogant, or if they're not arrogant, it looks like it could be arrogant, unless you're in a community where it's a normal thing to do. But nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says that after you daven, you shouldn't take off your tefillin straight away. And the longer you can leave your tefillin on after davening, where there's no issues of the of bad thoughts or of the body, because you're still carrying on from davening, then one should continue for wearing tefillin. And therefore the Mishnah Berurah writes that when you should learn Torah after davening with your tefillin still on. And the longer you can do that, the better. So therefore everyone here who has a shacharis and then halacha seder straight afterwards, a shout out to keep your tefillin on for all of halacha seder. Of course, if someone feels like they need the bathroom, they feel like they may pass wind, of course they should take them off, because that would degrade the tefillin. But if a person can, there shouldn't be a mindset of, we're at Aleinu, let's quick, get them off and we can go and get the Mishnah Berurah out. Rather, it should be, I'm wearing tefillin, it's giving me an extra level of yirat shamayim, and let me see how long I can keep them on for. And as long as I can, especially if I can learn Torah, I'd like to keep them on and keep that kedusha going of wearing tefillin as long as I can. So that's one mitzvah. Another example, also from the Rambam, in Hilchos Ma'aser, Perek Yud Beis, Halokeach peirot mi she'eno ne'eman ala ma'asros v'shachach la'asran v'nichnasa shabbat yom tov she'eno yochol la'aser. So you buy fruit from someone who you're not sure if they separated Masros or not. They didn't separate tithes, maybe. And then Shabbos comes in, so it's too late. You can't now separate. You're not allowed to separate on Shabbos Yom Tov because it's tikkun. You're fixing the kli, the fruit. So what do? Hareza sho'alo. Go ask him. You have to go. Normally you don't have to ask him. Normally you just separate it yourself. You don't embarrass the individual. Rather, you just go separate it yourself. But if it's Shabbos and you're stuck, so you go ask him. Ve'im omer lo mu'usarin heim. And if he says to you, yes, I tithe them, then musarin, and you can rely on him. And you're allowed to eat it on Shabbos. V'chein, im amar lo echad she'eno ne'eman musarin heim. And even if someone comes and tells you, someone who we don't really trust regarding musarin, regarding him taking ma'asrot, he says, yes, but these are taken. You can believe him as well on that Shabbos. Why? What's the reason that Rambam says? What's the reason? Mipnei she'emat Shabbat al ameh haaretz. Because Shabbos gives a special awe. There's a special recognition that Shabbos is a holy day. And on Shabbos, people who are ameh haaretzim even, they wouldn't transgress. They would be more truthful. Now, I'm not sure this would apply. Am Haaretz is a very unique status at a unique time. Am Haaretz were the type of people who they would separate Truma Gedola, right? But they just wouldn't separate what they saw as unnecessary. So it's not people like today who don't care about halacha. People today who don't care about halacha, they would grow fruits on their trees and they would just eat it. They wouldn't say, oh, We must at least do Truma Gedola. You know, they wouldn't have that concept in mind. Today, if you buy fruits and you don't know if Truma was separated or not, it's Safek Tevel. It's not Demai. Meaning, it might be that they didn't separate anything. Safek Tevel. As opposed to those days, which was, it was Demai. It was, they almost definitely separated Truma Gedola. Just the question of the other ones, we're not sure if they separated. So, I don't know if it's true nowadays, but at least at that time, Shabbos had a special Kedusha to it, that people who were sensitive to Shabbos, even if they were Amir Aretz, they didn't keep everything. But when Shabbos came, today was a holy day. I think even non-religious people still have that today in respect to Yom Kippur. Maybe not Shabbos. But many, many people have that even today in respect to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. There's an aim of Yom Kippur. They'll come to shul. They'll sit quietly through shul. I remember once the rabbi of our shul said, he said, I always think to myself, what a chaval that people who only choose to come once a year, they come on Yom Kippur. It's such a depressing day. They should rather come on Purim. And they'll say Judaism is at peak. They'll come and they'll join the dancing and they'll see the Divrei Torah. They'll see the joy of Yiddishkeit. That will connect them much more than coming on a day where everyone's just sitting solemn and everyone's like kind of banging their chest. And it's like, it's not a day where you, and if you haven't prepared for it and you haven't built towards it, it's not a day that you'll be able to relate to Hashem well on Yom Kippur. If you prepared for it, it can be the height of the day. It's the peak of the day. Right? You've prepared. It's like a day of closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which can't be compared to if you've prepared. But if you haven't prepared and you just fall into it, it's a day of suffering. It's not a day of joy and connection. So that's the, even today where you have people who have an aimer, have a yira. And that's something which is objective. Shabbos comes in, it puts them in a different status. They're in a new status. They're in a status of recognition. Not because they chose to add to the mitzvah. That's what the day means for them. Yom Kippur nowadays, Shabbos in those days. And a third example, the Shulchan Aruch, it's really Resh Ayin Hey, but some people are careful not to use a letter which sounds like, which spells out a negative word. So they spell it here as Ayin Resh Hey, just to reverse the first two letters. So there, the Taz and the Magen Avraham say, Tinoket, Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban, Korin Lo'or Aner B'Shabbat, Afilu Shil Lo Lifnei Rabban, So you're not allowed to read on Shabbos by candlelight lest you come to tilt the candle. But kids can. Why? Because they have a Rebbe. And they're scared of the Rebbe. And the truth is that the kids don't want to learn so much. They'll be very happy if the candle goes out. They're not going to come and try and fix it if it starts flickering. They're happy not to learn as well. What happens if the Rebbe's not there? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, even then they are allowed to learn by the light of the candle. Because their children are in a status where they have awe of their Rebbe. Whether the Rebbe is present or not present, they recognize, I have a Rebbe, and what the Rebbe says to do, I'll do even if the Rebbe is not around. I remember once hearing an amazing thing. There was the Talmud Torah that my son learnt in when he was a boy. Before it was where it is now, in Yad Binyamin, it used to be in Gush Katif. And when it was in Gush Katif, there was once where the children, it's a Zilberman school, where they do Shinun, where they learn everything 26 times. They go through all of Tanakh, most of Tanakh, and most of Shas Mishnayos. And so they were doing the Shinun. And once a boy had forgot his sandwich. And the mother came to give him his sandwich. And she came like to the window, and she didn't want to disturb the whole class. She was trying to like look in the window to see who was there. And she saw all the children that were saying their psukim and just saying them like with a, it was called Shinun, like repeating again and again. And they were singing all the psukim. And she went to like to try and get to the Rebbe so she can give the Rebbe the sandwich, not to disturb the whole class. The Rebbe will give it to him. And she like looked in and she saw the Rebbe wasn't there. And like, where's the Rebbe? The Rebbe had gone to the bathroom. And there was no Rebbe there. And the children were sitting and they carried on. They said to them, okay guys, do another chazorah of this. I'll be back in a minute. And the Rebbe wasn't there, but the Torah was so sweet. And they were doing shinran and they were connected. Meaning sometimes you have to have not every Rebbe is like this, not every Talmud is like this. But you can imagine a situation where the Talmidim and the Rebbe relationship is so great and the awe is so great and the status of the classroom is so great that the Talmidim are in awe of the Rebbe and they're in love of what they're doing. Even when the Rebbe's not around, they're still going to keep it going. Obviously, they had a misgeret, they had a structure, and it wasn't for very long. It's not an example which could, you know, I don't think they would manage that the whole year or even the whole day. But you can imagine the scene of where there's a Rebbe and they have awe of the Rebbe. Even if the Rebbe's not here now, I want to do what's right. I want to recognize that this is my Rebbe's way. And I wish to follow my Rebbe's way, even if my Rebbe's not around. So says the Ali Shok, from that Shulchan Aruch, that's what the Metzius, the ideal situation of the way a Talmud relates to a Rebbe. That even if the Rebbe is not around, the Talmud still feels in a status of, I have to do what's right. I have to do what would give my Rebbe nachas, what would give my Rebbe joy. Because this is I have awe of my Rebbe. And I wouldn't want to do something which my Rebbe wouldn't be happy with, even if he's not right here watching me. It's not about getting caught. It's about doing what's right. Fourth example. Hitkinu chazal shiyu tokim barosh chodesh elu, bekol shana v'shana v'kol chodesh, kedei lazhir Yisrael shiasu tshuva. Shneimar ha'itka shofar b'ir, v'am lo yecharedu, kedei la'arvev satan. So we blow the shofar for 30 days, up until but not including the day before Rosh Hashanah. And the goal is to awaken Jews to do tshuva, as the Pasuk says, could the people hear it and not be trembling? And also a second reason is to confuse the Satan. And the Beis Yosef says, Eka lemeidak, shekvar evi raya mi shofar shtaku b'midbar. Velamele tu latu e raya mi itaka b'shofar b'ir. We already know they blew the shofar earlier on, in the time of Matan Torah. If they want to bring a proof for the fact that we blow a shofar, bring that pasuk. Why are you bringing this pasuk? V'yesh tomar, says the Beis Yosef, Mishum de'eka lemidche, da'af al pi sha'yedei shofar nimnu'u Yisrael, ba'midbar milachto, einu mepnei sha'shofar miyuchad lekach. Tuhu adinim ayu ma'avirim kruz, ayu nimnim al yedo milachto. The fact that the shofar stopped them from sinning when they were in the desert, that's not necessarily because of the shofar. That was the status they were in at that time. They were standing in the desert, they were standing before Hashem under Ananah Kavod. There was a unique status there. Maybe they would have stopped doing sin even if a message would have gone out, even if it wouldn't have been to the shofar. Lekach mevi me'im yitaka b'shofar b'ir. Therefore, it's looking for an example where there's nothing else going on, no other factors other than the shofar blowing, and showing you that the shofar blowing can generate an awe inside of a Jew. Demashma shekol ha'shofar gorem lachrid ha'am mipachad Hashem u'mihadar go'ono. That's the mitziot of the shofar, that it causes a person to tremble and be awakened to tshuva. So you have here four examples of things where not only are you expected to have yira as an external thing, but the very mitzvah itself generates it. By a person putting on tefillin, he recognizes that I'm a man of God. I have God's name written on me. And the Rambam says it's a status that you enter. You're now aware that you're before Hashem. That was example number one. Example two, when Shabbos comes in, you're in the details of all the halachas, you're aware that it's the day of Hashem. And being more aware that you're before Hashem, because it's the day of Hashem, the time of Hashem, then you're more aware that there's a natural yira, an awareness of Hashem. Point number three, but in front of a Rebbe, and we spoke about yesterday, how a Rebbe represents Hashem. Right? Et Hashem Elokecha Tirah. We spoke about that the awe of a Rebbe is really an extension of an awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's another example of the fact that you're more aware that you're standing before Hashem, and therefore you come into a status of, and the blowing of the shofar. I remember once there was a boy who sat at the end of my row, when I used to sit in my makom, way back when, a year ago, when I sat in my makom. I sat in that makom for 18 years, and then Karama threw me out. So at the end of my row, there was a boy called Shlomo Zanjirian. You know him? So anyway, Rav Yust or Rav Tubi, they used to blow the shofar on a regular day, right? And he'd never blown the shofar before. I didn't even know he had a shofar. And it was the same time as sirens. There were sirens at that time, right, from Gaza. So I was davening, and I had my eyes, I mean, it was at the end of davening, but I wasn't like looking around, and I had my eyes closed, and I'm waiting for the shofar to be blown to start my Ledovit Hashem Orivi Ishi. And where's the shofar coming from? From the other side of the Beis Medrash somewhere. That's where I'm expecting it. Suddenly, now, I don't know if you've seen Shlomo, but he's got good lungs. Now, he has very good lungs, right? And when he blows shofar right next to me, I jumped out of my skin. I literally jumped like this. Oh, sorry. That's how scared I was. Everything was falling down. So I didn't mean to do that. The zoom went flying. Sorry. Thank you. I felt like this is probably what Chazal intended when they decreed that you have to have the shofar blowing in Elul. That a person will hear the shofar and they'll jump out of their skin. Oh my gosh, I call this Baruch Hu is coming. The day of Hashem is arriving. I wasn't petrified in the sense of petrified, right? Of like hiding under my table. But it caused me like to shake. In fact, the Gemara says at the end of Brachos that what's the reason why Hashem made thunder? So interesting. It doesn't ask about lightning, because lightning can create energy. There's some positive result that you can see from lightning. But it asks about thunder because there's no known benefit that you get from thunder. Like what does that produce that's beneficial in the world? So the Gemara asks, why did Hashem make thunder? And he said it was for that. It was in order that a Jew would have a situation of trembling in awe, and recognize there's something beyond me, something greater for me, and I have to bring myself to a status of awe. So when you come to do a mitzvah, and you say to yourself, how do I enter a recognition that I'm before something much greater and bigger than me? You can remember that time when Shlomo Zanjirin blew the shofar, or you can remember the thunder that you once heard, which happened right nearby you, and it shook you. And you can recognize there's much bigger and greater things out there than me. So these are four examples of mitzvot, which the very nature of the mitzvah is that it brings a person to awareness that he's standing before someone greater. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbe, Shabbos, Tefillin, it brings a person to that awareness. And really that's a binyan av for us, that every mitzvah that we come and do, we have to enter that status. You don't have to be trembling like scared, but you have to be aware there's something much broader and greater beyond me, which I have to be in the mindset and the recognition that I'm standing before. Yishar koach.